It's been a while since I've been here. I mean, y'all look good. You look older, but you look good. I'm sure I do too. Wow, is he aged? My God. But you know, it's just I'm just that much closer to heaven, just like you, right? So as Pastor Schaller said, I just got back from a trip over to Finland and Sweden, and it's so important for our church in York, as I think it's important here as well, that that my church, my local body, understands the worldwide vision, the worldwide ministry that's going on, that they're a part of, that they're connected to. It's so important to do that. We've been on many mission trips at our church, and I love taking the kids in our day school on those things. It really transforms their lives when they go and they see these different places, and it's just so important that they understand that God is at work in this ministry, and He is. And you know, sometimes we can get just so caught up in our daily routines and our daily issues and our daily problems that we sometimes lose that vision, that connection. Like, wow, I am part of a worldwide ministry. Like, while I'm preaching right now, there's people all across the world preaching and teaching and investing, and lives are getting transformed each and every day. I was talking to Linus, who's leaving with a team tomorrow to go to Norway, Oslo. And, you know, he's just so excited to go because, you know, just God has lit this fire in his heart for the people of Norway. And while I was over in Finland, I met this wonderful couple from Mumbai, India. Now, Mumbai, India is a tough place. And yet these two, this wonderful couple and their young son, Abhishek and Shika, are just so excited about being in Norway and receiving Linus and his team, and just can't wait to go soul winning and knocking on doors and leading people to Christ. And the excitement is just, it's just incredible. And, it's like addictive. It's just very exciting to see. And right down front in Finland were all these young people. You just see these future pastors being raised up and just seeing Pastor Schaller and so many others spend time with these young men, looking forward to the future of this ministry. Because we have an amazing ministry. We have an amazing leader. We have an amazing, elders and all of you that serve diligently. I just love it because you don't worry about all the fluff. You occupy yourself with Christ. And that's what just makes me, so glad to be a part of this ministry. Cause that's all we're doing in York. We're teaching the kids. We're teaching, preaching, loving, investing, evangelizing, doing missions, and just trusting God for the result. Amen. Just really briefly, in just a couple of minutes here, there's a wonderful verse, wonderful story in 2 Kings chapter 1. And I'll just read the one verse and then just tell you quickly. Elijah is getting ready to go home, to be with the Lord. But God's got one more thing for him to do. He's already investing in Elisha. And in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9, it's the king, this new king of Israel, sends unto a captain of 50 with his 50 and goes up to Elijah. And behold, Elijah sat on the top of a hill. And the captain spoke unto him, "Thou man of God, the king has said, come down." You know, I liken that hill to our ministry, to our walk with God. Jesus Christ has led me to this hill, and Jesus Christ is the only one taking me off of it. Amen? This is where I am. And if you ever feel sometimes you're in the minority, I don't think there's any problem with being in the minority, right? I mean, 300, you know, in Judges chapter 6, did 300 defeat 135,000, right? In 2 Kings 6, you know, the poor little servant wakes up in the morning for his morning coffee, looks out the window, and the whole Syrian army is out there. Man, this is not a good morning. This is going to take an espresso to get through. This is like really seriously bad. And you know, but Elisha says, "Oh Lord, let him see what I see, This guy's living by sight, Lord. We need to have him live by faith. Show him just for an instant what's really going on in the kingdom of God. And you know the story. Suddenly, all these angels with the chariots all surrounding and Elisha saying that great verse saying, they that be with us are way more than be with them. So you might feel like sometimes you're in the minority. You are not in the kingdom of God. You know, the majority is outnumbered when the minority has God. Amen? You don't stand a chance. You know, you got the whole Philistine army and this huge giant. Say goodbye, Goliath. You're going down. Because God. We have this incredible God that just loves to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think. And I know that you agree with me that God has given us a ministry. God has given us a testimony. God has given us this amazing opportunity until he calls us home to get on that hill and minister Christ and continue to evangelize and do missions and pray for each other and read your Bible and build each other up and raise each other's arms up in the battle and keep on occupying yourself with Christ, going forward with God, and nothing's taking you off that hill till Jesus says so. This is my hill. This is, and by the way, when Jesus went on his hill at Calvary, did anything get him off that hill? No. All the mocking and everything that went to him, he goes, this is my hill, and this is the hill that I'll die on for my children. And we're not coming off our hill. And in this story, until an angel of God comes and says, now you can get off the hill, that's when Elijah says, now I'll go and serve God and do what he's called me to do. But until God speaks, I'm not coming off my hill. I'm going forward. And I'm going to have fun doing it. Isn't it fun? Isn't it great to know that no matter what you do wrong, you're still ending up in heaven? There's a reservation there that's reserved forever. You can mess up everything from now until then, and you're still going to heaven. And Jesus is going to welcome you in. Now, that's grace and mercy, like Pastor Shallow was talking about. We need to start smiling a little bit more, because that's exciting. Because we don't have a clue what God's doing, but we know it's amazing. It's going to exceed. It's going to be above anything you can ever ask or think. So let's occupy ourselves like any good runner. Let's hit the tape running. Let's not slow down. Like I read about some guy just the other day from Great Britain who was ahead of the whole field in the 200 meter race and didn't make the Olympics because he was like way ahead of everybody else, and then just said, well, I'll cruise from here. And he came in fourth. I don't want to come in fourth. This is my hill. I'm standing on this hill. I'm going to cross that tape just by God's grace, going full tilt. Amen? Are you with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Tonight, we're going to have a short Bible psychology class, so it's going to take some concentration and some effort on your part to follow the teaching. And the theme is about my self life, my natural life, and then finding God, like knowing God in a personal way. I think we have a brother from Azerbaijan. Is that correct? Is it Armin? Is it Ilgar's son? Are you Ilgar's son? Yes. Okay. Good to have you. And your daughter? Okay. Great. Good. I wanted to recognize you. Okay. Good. Wow. That's a long time ago. Like a long time ago. Okay. All right. So, let's start. You a short exercise, my self life and what Jesus said about taking up the cross. What does that mean to take up the cross? So you have a self life and then taking up the cross. So I'm going to go over and get my book and start teaching in a minute, but you have a minute to turn to your neighbor and explain to them everything you know about your self-life going to the cross. Okay, go ahead. Okay, first, diagram. This is from Jeremiah 17, and we have a good description by a parable in Jeremiah 17, verse 5. And we have the man that is cursed. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man, makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. That's a very good verse that describes what can happen to us. We are born again. We're born again. We have a new nature, so now we trust God. That's in verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He will be like a tree planted by the waters. Verse 8 is a loaded verse, and verse 5 and 6 are loaded verses for the two different natures. The two different natures of man, the fallen nature, the sin nature of man, and then the new nature, which God gave us at our new birth, at our spiritual birth. So we describe it in Bible college by drawing these diagrams and studying the subject slowly. So we say this way, I draw it this way in our textbook. There's the heart and there's a hole in it. So we have like a three-dimensional picture like that. And there's a hole in the heart. What's missing in my heart? What's missing? God. God is missing. So I fill my heart. I look for things that'll go in my heart. And I draw like little particles floating around. A girlfriend, a job, a career, money, health, vitamins, good image, I'm popular, whatever it is that I look for in my life so that I could find that significance and security. Two big words, significance, value. Am I valuable? Tell me I'm valuable. Tell me I'm valuable. Tell me you like me. Tell me when I post something on social media that you like it. Please tell me. Please, I'm dying. Please tell me. So you get the idea. And you know it very well. Many of you are experienced in the faith and in the doctrine. So this is seven times, and maybe I'll ask the AV guys to put up on the screen the scriptures where we have Matthew 10:38. We have seven of these in our Gospels. Seven times Jesus saying that you need to take up the cross. If seven times he's saying it, different ways, but basically the same thing. All right. For us to learn that, for me to lose my life. What life? This one, the one that's on the board there. That one, lose it. Lose it. How can I lose it? At the cross. What does that mean? That means God has given me an answer. God has provided me a way. He has an answer for me. That I can lose that hole that's in my heart. That God says, what you need to do is lose your life. Like, lose your life. I don't want to lose my life. I want to keep my life. I want to win my life. I want to make my life better. I want to improve my life. I've got many gifts, somebody could say. I'm very talented. I have many gifts. I have many opportunities. I've got my life to live. I'm going to live my life. A teenager could say, they tell me that I could play in the NFL. They tell me that I could be a chess champion in the local high school, or I am one. I have my life. My family has money. I have opportunities. I have my life. I can have a great education. I have my life. Or in a negative way, I have my life. All I have is a tin can. One can that I can kick down the road, and I'm okay with that. That's my life. Some say I'm a loser, and I'm depressed, and I'm worried, and I'm afraid, but that's my life, and you can't have it. That's my life. I want it. I want my depression. I want my life of fear and misery. I want it. There are people that say that. Because this self-life is strong. But Jesus is saying something radical. Take up the cross. So let's go to the next one. I think we have the 7 up there. Okay, he that finds his life shall lose it. 16:24. That said, Jesus, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Next one. Whoever will save his life will lose it. Whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Mark 8:34. When he called the people unto him with his disciples, he said, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Why deny myself? Because this interferes with God. This nature here with this empty heart that's searching for everything except God. For me to preserve my life and to have my life and keep my life and try to maintain my life and manage my life. Don't you know that you can't do that? That only God can manage your life? Don't you know that the real key to life is God? No, I don't know that. I can do it myself. Take up the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus is saying, not my will, but your will be done. That in Gethsemane, not my will, but your will be done. The first Adam, my will be done. My way, my life, my will be done. The last Adam, your will be done. That's the cross. And it looks bad. The cross looks bad. It does. He's alone. You can make a list of things about the cross. He's alone. He's rejected. He's in physical pain. He is mocked, tormented. He is not popular. He is a throwaway. We don't need him. Rejected. Physical suffering, psychological, spiritual alienation from God. The cross is not attractive. It looks foolish, and it also looks foolish, and it also looks weak. Two things that we don't like. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be publicly embarrassed. I don't want to look like a fool. I don't want to be ridiculed. I don't like it. That's the cross. Wow. Lose your life. I don't want to. But maybe it's God. Maybe it's God's way. Maybe it's the way of the Spirit. Maybe it's the way of my satisfaction. Maybe it's the way of my blessing. Maybe it's the way where I discover in my foolishness, I find his wisdom, right? And in my weakness, I may find his power. Right? That's what he's saying. Unless you learn this and take up the cross, then you can't be my disciple. It won't work. You won't have it. Because all I will have is your sin nature and kind of stumbling over your sin nature all the time. Because you are at the center. And when you're at the center, it's hard for me to do my work. Because my Holy Spirit I send into the world is not to promote your flesh. My Holy Spirit I send into the world is to manifest my Son, to manifest the Son of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Let's get on His team. Let's get on the Holy Spirit's team. Let's be filled with the Spirit and find another way, not the way of our flesh, loving ourselves. Let's lose ourselves and find His way, a whole new way of life, being filled with the Spirit. Let's look at, as we close, look at the, we could go through these. They are saying, we have a summary, I think it's the last slide. Taking up our cross means, in the six things, taking up our cross means, number one, following Him. Now watch, Jesus is walking. We don't like where He's going. Jesus, wait a minute, we don't like it. You're going down to Jerusalem, Mark 13. This was in the convention. Somebody preached on it. You're going down to Jerusalem. I don't want you to go to Jerusalem. It's dangerous down there. Don't go there. Guys, I'm going down. With or without you. But if you follow me, you'll know me. Your call. It's your call. Let's follow Him. Follow Him out of the bar room. Some of you hang out in the bar room. Raise your hand if you hang out in the bar. Randy Rollins, raise your hand. Now, I don't know if you do. I'm joking around. But hey, Jesus is leaving the bar room. He says, follow me. Huh? We're following Him in His way. And Pastor Jay said, it may be the minority, but we are with Christ. What a privilege to follow Him and be with Him where He is. That's John 12, verses 25 and 26. We will be where He is. I think that's up there. Okay, wait a minute. Following after Him. But, you know, we don't know where He's walking because we don't have Him on the earth. We can't follow Him like that. So how can we follow Him? With this. We get on our knees with this and we follow Him in our hearts. We learn humility. We follow Him. He teaches us that. We read it. Humility. What a good word. Humility, submitted to Him. Through the cross we go. To the cross in obedience and follow Him. Number two, losing one's life for His sake. You know, some people lose their life by suicide, but it's for their sake. They can't handle life anymore. That's what they say. By the way, don't even think about it. Don't do it. Don't go there. That's not your call. Let God take you home. You can pray to God that He takes you home. But don't help Him, okay? But you can lose your life for His sake. And you know what you should say? I want to go do my life and live my life. You know, I want to live my way. I want to go live my way, live my life. But wait a minute. Why don't I do that later if that's His will? Let's live. Let's follow Him in this life. And He can take care of us later. But I have found the things that I wanted in my own way I don't want anymore because I have found following Him is so satisfying that it doesn't matter to me. I don't have to have it my way. We have found it His way. I find new friends like you. I find the body. I find purpose. I find the gospel. You see salvations. You see ministry, you see answered prayer, you find your life through him, through the cross. Okay? Losing one's life for his sake, number three, losing one's life for the gospel. How did you get out to Laos? How did you get into the jungle? How did you go to Vietnam? Why do you go to Norway? I think Linus has family in Norway, but on the other hand, he's going there for the gospel. Isn't that beautiful? For the gospel's sake. Okay. Number four, denying one's self-life. Aren't you sick of your self-life? Are you sick of it yet? You know, are you gorging yourself on your self-life? How's that happen? How's that doing for you? Pretty good? You like that? Gorging yourself on your self-life? Everything's about you. You got to have it your way all the time, your way all the time. And your self-life, how's that look? We've done it. Okay, go to the cross. Give your life to the Lord. And the Spirit will fill you. And you start serving. It's not about us. It's about the Lord is here. And you start loving and serving people and listening to the Lord and loving people. So then, hating one's self-life, number five. These are all in those seven verses. We didn't go through them all, but you can look them up in your Gospels. You know, you end up hating one's self-life. Maybe you can hear that in my words here. Number six, falling to the ground like a seed that dies to bring forth fruit. There's another part to that last one. I want to bring it up, but just put up John 12:26, and we'll finish. It's amazing, actually. It says, if any man serve me, let him follow me where I am. It's John 12:26. Any man serve me, let him follow me where I am. There shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. To be honored by the Father. What's your life? What happened to you? And you are these kind of people. I know you are because I've known you for decades. I know that. I know that about you. I would say, God has honored you. God has honored your life. You are simple, loving, free, not complicated, not blaming the world, not blaming people, not blaming anybody for anything. You have taken up the cross, and the Father is honoring you. He crowns you with honor. Life is simple, clean, pure. The Holy Spirit running out, flowing out of our belly, love for people. Not complicated, simple in Christ, gift of God. How did you get that? How did that happen to you? Why do you have some kind of authority or blessing in your life? How come you are satisfied with your prayers? And how come you're satisfied with your life? How come you're satisfied in your heart? And we would say, believe me, it's not because of my self-life. It's because I found the cross that God gave into the world his Son to go to the cross so that we could go there at the cross and reckon with God that this is what I really need for my life. Not only did you die for me that I would be saved, but you gave me your Son so that I could live. I could live a new life, Romans 6:4, 6:6, 6:13, that we could live a new life, but we have to deal with our self-life and give it up. Give up all of our excuses and complaints and all of our arguing and our anger, and give up all of our emptiness and our loneliness, and go before God at the cross and kneel there and do business with God. And he promises us that if because we died with him, we shall also walk with him in the newness of life. He promised us that as we were crucified with him, so we've been raised with him. He promised us that not only would we have a salvation, but we would have actually the outworking of our salvation, the reality of his person in our lives and in our hearts. And that's what we have been given. So, this book, Pastor Morrison's book, I just started to get into it. Chapter 27, Pastor Morrison. Pastor Jay, you could write a book like this. Next time you come, we want to look at it. What does it mean to take up a personal cross? Jim Morrison, in the bookstore, half price for you. No, I'm not. I don't know if there are any more, but hey, this is, we all need it. Never outgrow it. You never outgrow it. Quietly this summer, walk with God and learn about it. And you will find that our Heavenly Father will be honoring you. Or you will be where Jesus is. And when we are where Jesus is, life is good. Now, it doesn't matter where I'm living, as long as Jesus is there, right? May Jesus be there with us in our lives. Okay? Amen. Would you pray with me, please? We'll have a wrap on it, I think. Pastor Ronaldo, I don't know, did you? Are we doing the wrap, or Pastor Shabelli, or we'll do the wrap on that theme, okay? Would you pray with me? Lord, there are so many things in our lives that we could trip over, to kind of trip over, stumble. A lot of things that can happen in one lifetime, and we'll never master this life without you. And the cross means that we bring this stuff before you and ask you to give us wisdom, also strength, understanding, guidance, Lord. Lead us. But to be honest, Lord, there are times we're so filled with ourselves we can't hear you. We're so filled with our self-life that we don't know what humility is. We're so filled with our confusion and our trouble that we don't get it. We don't get it. We just talk a lot and different things about us as people. None of us are any better than anybody else. But you're telling us something, and we want to learn it. Please, Lord, thank you for your love and patience, and teach us what the cross means in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name. And then anyone listening, you're not a believer yet, come to Christ tonight. Come as you are. Ask Jesus into your life. Walk by faith in him. He will love you. He forgives you. He will take care of you, and he will guide and lead you in Christ's name. Amen.